parents to participate in children's church, then you know what to do by now. What would you do if you could tell yourself of Philemon, the Apostle Paul writes to the pastor, so to speak, of the church that was in his house, and he pleads with him, or he tenderly and gently asks him to receive a slave back to himself that had stolen money from him and ran away. Legally, Philemon had the right to, let me turn my mic on, maybe you can hear me. Philemon had the right to punish him severely, even kill him. As this small book that the apostle penned through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he did this during his imprisonment at Rome. You see, he writes to Philemon in regards to a slave, Onesimus, because Onesimus had wronged Philemon. What would he do when he stole money from him? He ran away. You know, I was thinking about that. Why did he run? Well, he went to Rome. He went to blend in with all the people there. I mean, Rome had a lot of people there, had a lot of slaves in that day. So he wanted to go and blend in. Maybe he wouldn't get noticed. He went so he could probably hide amongst the people there. But I can tell you something. When I thought about that, I thought about how Onesimus must have been convicted over what he did. Onesimus must have knew that was wrong, what he did, because he went and did. Isn't that what we do when we sin? We don't want nobody to know about it. Whenever we do something wrong, we hide that, because we know it's wrong. You see, that's a sign of guilt, shame. Let me ask you something this morning. What are you hiding this morning? What kind of skeletons are in your closet this morning? What does no one else know except for you? See, the reason why we hide things in our life is because we're ashamed of it, and because we know that it's wrong. And my prayer this morning is that God would shine a light on each and every one of our hearts and bring to light that wrong. That's the only way repentance will be born, is to know that we have done wrong. Know that we're not perfect. See, I think that's where one of the biggest problems in Christianity today is compromise. And the reason why there's compromise is because we don't want to think of ourselves as the bad person. But instead of looking at ourselves in light of what the Scripture says, it's like last week we talked about, my will be done, not yours. But Jesus Christ himself, right before he went to the cross, what did he say? Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done. You know, if we were in the position that Philemon was in here, someone had stolen from us and ran away, the last thing that we would probably be thinking about is allowing them to come back into our house. So the overarching and the underlying theme of the book of Philemon is forgiveness. Forgiveness. One of the major aspects of Christianity that I believe is lacking in the church today is forgiveness. If we only knew how to forgive, then we would all get along a whole lot better, wouldn't we? We've been going through the writings of the Apostle Paul for a couple of years now. We have three letters left that he penned. Some theologians said, now you got four letters, because some think that he wrote Hebrews as well. I don't know. I'll ask him when I get to heaven. So we come to a small epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote, Philemon, and we see what the Holy Spirit has to say through the Apostle Paul here. I'm going to ask those who are physically able, would you please stand in the honor of the reading of God's holy word. The Bible says, Paul, Philemon chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the men of your word. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and hear your word spoken today. And Father, I pray as you speak to us that you would change our direction and our thinking, that we would not be relative to what the world has to offer, but that we would stay focused totally and completely on Jesus Christ. For it's in his holy name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We know that Philemon, he was saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul preached in Ephesus, Philemon is in Colossae, and some people that had come from Colossae to Ephesus had heard the gospel, went back, they started churches. And we're going to see where these churches are. Typically, a church was started in a house in the first century. And that just intrigues me. It tells me a lot about who the people were back then, and we'll mention a little bit about that here later. In the book of Philemon, we see that a slave by Onesimus, he winds up at the jail or the prison that the Apostle Paul is in. winds up getting saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul basically tells him, look, you have to right your wrongs. You have to go back to Philemon, and you have to make that wrong right. So he sends Onesimus back to Philemon along with this letter. And later on in the book of Philemon, we'll see that the Apostle Paul says, anything that he owes you, I'll pay it back. That just goes to show you how the Apostle Paul believed in reconciliation, not only between God and man, but between man and man. And friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that if we truly, genuinely have been reconciled to a righteous and holy God, then we will make efforts to be reconciled to fellow believers in Jesus Christ. That's just the way it is. That's what Christianity is all about. The word Christian, it's a word with a suffix on the end of it. The word Christ with I-A-N on the end of it. That I-A-N means to be a follower of what proceeds. So if we are genuine Christians, then we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we imitate, we follow, we do what Jesus Christ himself does. Sometimes I think where the underlying problem of Christianity is we don't know what Christianity means. To follow Jesus Christ. Well, where are we following him to? Well, we're following him to the same place as disciples follow him to. When Jesus came in the stable as a little bitty baby, as he grew and he started his ministry, he called people unto himself and he started going. And he called people to follow him, come with me. And all the while, he knew where he was headed. They didn't know where he was headed, but he knew where he was headed. He was headed to the cross of Calvary. And they were to follow him all the way to the cross. Why are we to follow Jesus to the cross? Because it is a place of death. The cross is a place of death. It is a place where the old man dies. But it's also a place of life. Because on the other side of the cross, friend, Jesus rose from the grave. You cannot truly be alive. You cannot be resurrected unless you die first. Have you been to the cross? Have you died of self? You see, even though Philemon was saved when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, the Apostle Paul knew that he could have bitterness in his heart. The Apostle Paul knew that he had the opportunity not to forgive, not to allow Onesimus back into his household, into the church. And I love the way he started the letter off. He says, Paul, he recognizes himself as who's writing the letter. But instead of him saying Paul, an apostle, and showing his divine authoritative gift to preach the word, that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, instead of starting it off that way, he starts it off like this: Paul, a prisoner. Now, what do you think about when you think about prison? Well, I preached at the jails for a long time, started in 2005, had preached there for over 10 years. And one thing I can tell you about a prison is they're locked down tight. They ain't getting out. They're bound. And this word actually means to be tied up. In the original language, it means to be bound. The Apostle Paul recognizes not himself as authoritative. He didn't say Paul an apostle, but he says, I'm Paul, a prisoner. I'm held captive. I'm bound. But he wasn't just bound or held captive. He was held captive by Christ Jesus himself. You see, there's a difference there. One thing that bothers me about a lot of the Christian movement going on, the freedom that we have in Christ. You hear a lot about grace and mercy and freedom in Christ. And I believe, I know all that's true, but we've taken it out of context because what we think now is that we're free to do anything we want to now that we're in Christ. So a lot of people have this idea that we're free to sin. But friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that that is not so. We are not free to sin. We are free from sin. So here's the question. If we continue in sin, and we think over and over, well, Christ is going to forgive me. I can go out and do anything I want to. Christ is going to forgive me. He's already forgiven me for past, present, and future sins. Yeah, that's true. Don't take it out of context, though. Your heart will begin to be hardened. Conviction is less. The next time you sin, it's easier. And then there's no conviction. The next time you sin, you're no longer even ashamed of it. You're no longer even trying to hide it. It's in the open for everyone on display. There's no repentance. That's what's wrong with our church today. No conviction, no repentance, no shame for the sin in our life. The Apostle Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm held captive, I'm bound by the love and salvation. No, it's not the captivity of Jesus Christ. It's not the prison that has iron doors slammed behind you, but it's the prison of sin. I'm going to tell you something. We need to break free from the captivity of sin. And sin needs to be called sin, just as the Bible calls it. What is sin? Stealing. Lying, cheating, gossiping, adultery. I can go on and on. No repentance, no conviction. The Apostle Paul says, I'm a prisoner. Let me ask you something this morning. Held captive by Christ Jesus? Or does the devil have a foothold in your life in some area? Are you held captive by some see servitude here. The Apostle Paul says, I'm a slave, and I serve Jesus Christ. But also I see submission in our text today. Look in the later part of verse 1 and then verse 2. The Apostle Paul is not simply telling us who he's writing to, but he gives us an insight here about the submission of the first century church. First of all, he says, to Philemon, our brother, our beloved friend, and fellow laborer. So Paul had a dear friend. He had a beloved friend. Not only was he a brother in Christ, but he was also a minister for Jesus Christ. He helped the Apostle Paul in the efforts of spreading the gospel. But it goes beyond that. It goes deeper than that. Not only was Philemon submissive to the word of God, but his whole household was submissive. This Apphia and Archippus is his wife and his son, our fellow soldier, those who stand on the front lines for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he goes further and he says, not only to the family there in the household, but to the church in your house. Now that's what I'm talking about, being submissive. What if I, during hymn time, I come up here behind the sacred desk of God. I said, okay, we're going to sing some blues songs this morning. Some of you would have probably left. And you know what? I would have too. Brother Dale, the blues is no place for church. Well, let me turn that around. The church is no place for the blues. Why are we so against bringing the blues inside of here in the sacred sanctuary of a holy and righteous God, but we have no problem taking Christ who lives inside of us to the blues festival? Why is that? Results in no repentance. Submission. do I see servitude, submission, but I see a solace here. We see in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts Jesus Christ and God the Father in the same sentence, on the same level, to show Christ's deity here. And he starts out with grace. The grace of God leads to peace in your life. When there is no grace, there is no peace. When there is no grace, there is no conviction. When there is no grace, there is no repentance. Does it break your heart when you sin? You see, I found that in the church today, it breaks our heart when other people sin and we want to see them judged, but we have no brokenness over our own. Does the peace of God truly reside in you? Let me get you to stand this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your admonition. We thank you for the way you speak to us in boldness and in truth from your word. God, we thank you for the example of the people in the first century church that they left us. The analogies and the types and symbolisms that they give us. And God, I pray that it is our wholehearted desire to be as they were, wholehearted, submissive in servitude toward you. And Father, as a result, we will only find our solace in you, peace from the grace that only you can give. And it is this morning, Father, that I pray, if there's one person here this morning that you are dealing with, that has a conviction over a hidden sin in their life, Father, that you have brought that forth, that you would deal with it, and that it would lead to godly sorrow, and in as a result, that repentance would be born here this morning for reconciliation back to yourself with that person. You may be here this morning. You say, Brother Dale,